Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What would you say are the number of photographs in your archive?
I have this young man who works for me the other day. He thinks that I took more than 1 million pictures of my life.
Wow. So let me introduce you. John Pagazzi, or Johnny as I know him, is a world-renowned photographer. He's an art collector, a venture capitalist, a one-time television host. I've been on his show before, and he is also a fashion designer. He's also known as the father of the selfie, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome him to my podcast all the way from France. Are you in Antibes, Johnny?
I am in Antibes in the south of France next to the sea, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Well, yeah, Johnny Pagazzi has been very busy. He changes direction at the drop of a pin. You do, Johnny. He's a shirt designer 1 year. He's a boat designer another year. He is a raconteur always. He is building an amazing home in the hills of Los Angeles. He is living high and beautifully on the coast of France in Antibes. He is friends with every single movie star. Oh, probably the most impressive thing that impressed me tremendously was your Cannes Film Festival party, the annual party. Did you have one this year?
I stopped doing my... First of all, last year there was COVID, so no party.
Yeah.
And this year, I decided not to do it, and I'll tell you why. Because when I had it last time, 3 years ago, there were a lot of people at the party. I had no idea who they were. So I'm not going to give a party to people. And I tell you, this year I got a lot of emails saying, oh, Jean, at what time is your party on Saturday? But the best email I got is a guy says, hello, my name is George. You don't know me. I came to your party 3 years ago with my girlfriend, Stephanie, who's not my girlfriend anymore, but I would like to come anyway. I have no idea who Stephanie was. I had no idea. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to give a party for people I don't know. The only way you can give a party is when you know people, okay? I'm not going to invite people I don't know.
But you're in your books, legendary photographs of all the guests at your parties for the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah.
You had Michael Douglas. You had Sophia Loren. You had everybody at your party.
So but I what's knew them. I know. Them.
So you don't know the current movie stars?
I don't know. DiCaprio is the youngest of the movie stars I know now. I'm an old bag now.
Your real passion, I think, is photography. Is that? Are you more passionate about photography or about collecting art? What's the thing now?
Well, photography. I mean, collecting art. You know, you don't really. You need some kind of a talent, but photography is. You need some kind of a talent because it's so easy now to take pictures. You know, anybody now with an iPhone can take a photograph. Okay, but I started a long time ago, and the difference between a good photograph and a great photograph is a very, very small thing. So I'm still obsessed. Every day I take pictures every day of anything, trees, my dogs, myself, people I see in the road, you know, anything. And instead, I still don't understand that at my happy little age of 70, I'm still interested in taking photographs. I'm still obsessed by taking photographs. And I keep on buying new cameras and new things and all that. And I still don't understand where this passion comes from, but it's there.
You've published several books of photographs.
I did a lot of books, and I'm working on new books now. And it's, I don't know, last week I went to, which I have never done, I went to a corrida, which is a horrible thing in Madrid, really horrible. But I took some quite good pictures, so that was kind of interesting.
At a bullfight?
You know, at a bullfight. Horrible. I stayed after two things. I left. I couldn't stand it anymore.
What's your new book? What's the focus of your new book?
The new book, I'm working on a book, but I'm going to see if it can work. It's my 45 year of friendship with Mick Jagger.
Ah.
So I have hundreds of pictures, but we're working on them. Obviously, some pictures, he says, you know, Johnny, this is too intimate. We can't put this, or this one is fine, you know. So we've been working together to see what pictures we can put in the book, because, you know, certain pictures, you know, I understand, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, there's nothing embarrassing or anything. So that's a problem. And then, you know, I did a book about the 213 most important men in my life. And you know the bizarre thing?
What?
I can't remember anything, but I can say, I remember the picture I took of Martha with Gianni Agnelli. She's on the left of Gianni on the sailboat. I have an incredible visual memory. I couldn't remember what food we had at the Erdogan's. I can remember. I said, I took that picture of that brown dog running after the cat. And what year? Well, I can't remember the year, but it must have been 1975, and they find the picture. It's incredible. I can remember millions and millions of photographs, and I can't remember the name of the street next to my house in Los Angeles.
But you know, Johnny, the camera is your brain and your eyes.
Yeah.
And that happens, I think, to visual people that you know, once for me, it's like I can remember everything that I ever was filmed in. Like I've done so many TV shows and I can remember, and I don't have to look at them again because I know what I did in the show.
Wow.
And it's the same kind of thing. It's like it's that kind of visual peculiar thing that happens to somebody who's visual, and you are so visual. And that's very interesting. A million photographs. That is a lot of photographs. And what about your relationship with the one photographer I never got to work with and I always wanted to? I didn't know what he would make me do. I was frightened to death of Helmut Newton, because Helmut Newton was very avant-garde.
Helmut, I met many, many years ago in Paris. And then when he moved to Monaco, I used to spend a lot of time with him. And actually, there's a fantastic film that June, which was his late wife, made of him. And if somebody wants to become a fashion photographer, they should look at this film. And it's incredible how obsessed by details. He would say, sweetheart, move your leg 2 inches that way. Assistant, move the flowers a mile away. Move those red flowers a bit to the left. Move that. And then he said, you know, all these young photographers, they use Photoshop. Okay, they change. When I give my pictures to Vogue, they can print them. They're perfect, okay? But when I take them, and I used to look at him work, he was so precise and so incredibly obsessed by the most minute detail where the light would hum and this and that.
When I met Johnny Pigozzi, this was in, I think the first time I met you was maybe in St. Bart's. you know, when there were wild parties, and you were always with your little Instamatic camera taking selfies. And nobody else was doing that. Nobody else was recording themselves with everybody they met. You would put your arm over across our shoulder, and you would have your long arm out, your other arm your camera, and with a flash, always with a flash, and you would get the most beautiful pictures of us.
And I could only take one picture.
That's right.
I could only take one picture because the flash in those days took a long time to recycle. It took like 15 seconds. So let's say you take a picture of them. They say goodbye and they would walk away. So you better get it right, okay?
Right.
So the first one I did, I think, was in 1973 of Faye Dunaway. So Faye Dunaway was at Harvard. She was the Lampoon Lady of the Year or something like that. And it's the first time I took a picture of that. And after that, it worked out. And I had a little Leica with a little flash. And because I had a long arm, I could take these pictures. And I took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I did a book that's called Me and Co., which has been published many, many times. And I think I really invented the selfie.
I think
so
you did.
What is a secret that nobody knows, that I am one of the richest people in the world, because every time somebody takes a selfie, I get 1 cent.
Aha. Uh-huh. I wish. Yeah. Don't you wish?
I wish to. I wish to, but it's not.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all 6 delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Let's give our listeners a little bit of background into who the heck is Johnny Pagazzi. Where were you born, Johnny?
I was born in Paris, France, from Italian parents, who my father emigrated from Italy and started a car company in France that was called Simca. And my mother was also Italian, but they lived in Paris, and that's where I was born.
Where were the car factories?
In Paris.
Oh.
And then And then in 1962, Chrysler, which you know about, bought the company from my father. So it became an American company.
Did they continue to make the little Simcas?
They make it and managed to screw it up in 2 years. In 3 years, they completely screwed it up. They changed the name to Talbo, and they completely screwed it up, and it's gone, very sadly.
And if the listeners have any idea of what a Simca car looked like, can you describe the Simca? You have your driveway at Villa Duren is lined with little Simcas.
I have plenty of them. So Simca was a popular car, not a very expensive car, but they were very good looking. And my father was very interested by design. So usually they were very good and they had great colors and all that. So I have a beautiful one and I just had it restored now. And I drive into the Hotel du Cap of it, and they're so proud of it that they always leave it in the front door. And then I also have a station wagon that's going to come now that actually my mother's cook used to use, but I just had it redone now. And then I have another one that's going to be redone next winter. That's the same one that the president, Charles de Gaulle, used to drive around in. So it went from a very simple car to the car that the president drove. So they made every kind of car. When my father was alive, one car out of three in France was a Simca.
One out of three. Now, this is a small car.
No, they had big ones and small. They had every size.
Oh, I didn't know there were large Simcas. I always described them as a small car, like almost like even smaller than a Beetle, a Volkswagen Beetle.
No. They had every size. Every size. And what the most famous one was called Aronde, which is like a bird, and with the same, it's an anagram of my house here that's called Duran. The house here is called Duran. It's an anagram of Aronde. And then he had another one called P60. When he was 60 years old, Pigozzi, 60 years old, he had one that was called P60.
You had no interest in becoming a car manufacturer?
Well, I was very, sadly, I was 12 years old when my father died. So, you know, when I became older after I went to Harvard, I'm not that interested in cars. No.
Okay. How did you find your way to Harvard from Paris?
I found my way for a miracle. I knew nothing about American universities, so I applied to Harvard, Yale, and a couple of other ones. They all rejected me. And then in the middle of August, I got a telegram from Harvard says, "Well, if you go and do this interview in Paris next week, you might get in." So I went to do an interview in this big office. I had there my little suit and a little tie, and it was a big bank. And it was, and the gentleman sitting behind the desk, a kind of serious guy, he said, "Where are you from originally?" I said, "Well, I was born in Paris, but my family is from Torino." He says, "Okay, I'm going to ask you two questions. And if you get them right, you'll get into Harvard." He says, "The first question is, what is the best restaurant in Torino?" So I said, "Gatto Nero, the Black Cat." He said, "Okay." And he said, "Next question." He says, "When is the season for white truffles?" I said, "October, November." He said, "Young man, you'll go to Harvard." And I went to Harvard.
Do you remember who that was interviewing you?
No, he was a very, very, obviously very nice man, a genius, because he sent me to Harvard. He was the European president for a bank that's called the Irving Trust. You remember the Irving Trust?
Of course.
I don't think it exists anymore, but it was a big bank in those days.
It was incorporated into some other bank and then into some other bank. So after Harvard, did you go get a job someplace, or did you? You were rich. You were the heir. You were the heir to the Simca fortune, right?
I had some money, but I didn't use it for a long time. No, my first job, I went to work for an uncle of mine who made supermarket carts. So I know everything about the wheels, how they stack into each other. And I sold supermarket carts all around the world. So for a year, I did that. And then I went to work for a French film company that's called Gaumont. And they sent me to Fox. They were going to try to merge us. And so I spent like 6 months at Fox in Los Angeles, and I stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel in room 512, and I had a fabulous time. Until one day at the pool, I met this character, Ahmet Ertegun, and we became incredibly good friends, and I quit Fox, and I started traveling with him, and I had the best time of my life. And he taught me three very important things, the rules of his life, and then I applied them to my life, okay? Business should be fun. Never go to the office before 12. And women like to have sex. Okay?
Those are the three things. Ahmet Ertegun, I found him a very attractive man. And Ahmet Ertegun was a very, very successful entrepreneur. He was in the music business. Describe what you did with him.
So Ahmet was the son of the Turkish ambassador in Washington. and obviously stiff family. And him and his brother Nesui loved black music. So, and in those days, this must have been in the 50s, black music, you had to go like into the ghetto to hear it. So they started going to them, they started recording it. And then they started this company, Atlantic Records, and they had all the, you know, from Aretha Franklin to Ray Charles, and then they had the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, all the greatest acts in the world. And he was fabulous because he had on one side, he had this very elegant, you know, in a beautiful house with a very elegant wife and all that. And the other side, he had this completely rock and roll life where, you know, everything would go stay up all night and all that. So it was very, I spent so much time with him and we laughed so much. It was absolutely, he was an incredible, incredible, incredible
person. I was sorry that I never got to see his beautiful house, his villa in Turkey, in Bodrum. Didn't he have an amazing house? Yeah.
He had an amazing house in Bodrum that was made out of the stones of a famous temple that was there. But I went there perhaps 40 years ago. It was incredible. Now it's in the middle of the, on the left there's a discotheque, on the right there's another discotheque. Now it's a little bit different. But when I was there the first time, there was three old dogs on the harbor walking around. So it's very, very different. But it's a beautiful, and his wife, Mika, she's still alive, she's very old, had incredible taste. So she decorated very nice.
Well, you took me to dinner at their house in New York City.
In New York City, it was a beautiful.
Do you remember taking me to dinner? And we were served a strangest meal. We had potato pierogi, which are stuffed potato dumplings, and served with great gobs of caviar on the potato dumplings. Nice. Do you remember?
Okay.
No, I remember all these things. And then we had roast leg of lamb with mint jelly. Very very American. And I was just sort of taken aback by the combination. It was so like, oh my gosh, mint jelly with leg of lamb. I mean, that's an American thing, but I had no idea that a sophisticated woman like Mika would be serving that. But she liked really, really good food and nice combinations of food. And as you said, she was one of the most elegant women that ever lived. And she had this rock and roll husband. Sort of like your friend from Fiat, your uncle, Gianni Agnelli.
You know, sadly my father died when I was very young, but I had these fabulous older men in my life who were like 10 or 20 years older than me, who took me under their wing. And Agnelli was one of them, was by far the most elegant man in the world, I think. He was a real prince. And he also had like kind of a double life, okay? He had a very elegant wife and that. And then he could be the funniest and the craziest person on the other side. And we used to go sing together and we traveled. He was very interested by contemporary art and all that, and also by girls and all that. He was fantastic. And then you would go to his house and then there was the wife and all the butlers with white gloves and all that. So he was fabulous. And then I had another friend of mine who was called Jimmy Goldsmith, who was also an English guy, Sir James Goldsmith, who also had a double life of a big businessman and that, but also incredibly funny and all that. And then my other friend was Helmut Newton, the photographer, who was also an older gentleman. Then I had Ettore Sotsas, who was a famous Italian architect who did all my houses. So I was very, and then another one incredible, his book just came out now, and you should interview him, Chris Blackwell, who discovered Bob Marley and U2 and all that. And he is the freest man I ever met in my life. He's from Jamaica.
Do you know I was madly in love with Chris Blackwell?
I'm not surprised.
I never told you that. I actually slept in his bed in the house of Bob Marley down in Jamaica. But I loved him. He was one of the most creative men I've ever met. And nicest too, Chris Blackwell. When I knew him really well, he was living in Jamaica most of the time. But what a handsome, elegant man. But those are very fantastic men to have as mentors. Yeah, really, incredible. Really fabulous. And Johnny Pigozzi actually took me on Stealth, which was the racing yacht of Mr. Agnelli, with Mr. Agnelli. And he let me steer that boat, remember? And you have a picture of me. Yes, in Corsica. Yeah. And I want that picture desperately. And you're going to have to loan that picture to me for my documentary, Johnny. I'm coming after you for some photos.
Okay.
But what incredible mentors. And Ettore Sosas, your architect. Tell us about your relationship with him, because your whole sort of aesthetic centered around a modern Italian idiom that was so different from anybody else's. Even your boat, your big freighter, turned into a Sozas creation with Johnny Pigozzi touches everywhere.
So I was very lucky. I bought this big apartment in New York, and I had an American architect, and I was not really happy with him. He was very traditional, not interested. So I had a friend in California who was called Max Palevsky, who was a high-tech guy, very interesting. And he said, why don't you ask Ettore Sozas? I said, I don't even know who he is. So in those days, there was no internet. So I went to the Rizzoli bookstore. You remember the Rizzoli 50? And I bought 3 books on Sozas. And I said, I love this guy. So I called Ettore up. And Ettore said, well, I'll come and see you next week in New York, okay? So he came, and immediately we became friends. And he looked at I had a coat on, and he said, do you like your coat? I said, yeah, I like my coat. He says, will you be wearing that same coat in 2 years' time? I said, yeah. He said, well, wrong. What you should do is when you have a house, every 2 or 3 years, you should change everything in your house. So I said, okay, well, that's interesting. So in any case, we started doing my apartment in New York, and I loved it. And
is that the one in the Café des Artistes building?
Yeah, Café des Artistes was a big triplex.
And Johnny has one of the most beautiful, beautiful villas in the south of France. If you think you've seen it all when you go to the Hotel du Cap, well, you haven't seen anything until you visit Johnny at Villa Dorain, his gorgeous ancestral home in the south of France. And so beautiful. So what have you been up to lately? I have not visited you or been with you, except for your exhibit in New York, which was very interesting. I have not seen you for several years. Yeah. So, you know, an exhibit at the MoMA, it just like rolls off his tongue. It's absolutely no accomplishment whatsoever. A very extensive exhibit. Why don't you tell us about that exhibit, Johnny? Because I was surprised at it.
I have been collecting contemporary African art for the last 32 or 53 years. And I think I have the largest and I hope the best collection of contemporary African art in the world. And we had many, many shows at the Guggenheim in Bilbao, at the Fondation Vuitton in Paris, in many, many places, okay? And about 3 years ago, I was approached by the MoMA, and they said, will you give us something? I said, oh, okay, that's an interesting museum. And I gave them 45 pieces, which is by far in number the biggest number they never got, not in value, because obviously you give them a Picasso that's worth $50 million or more, okay? But I started the African collection. And 2 years ago, we had a show with a very great artist from Zaire, from Congo, that's called Bodis Kingeles, who makes these crazy cities. And now we just have a show that's on until it's in mid-August of a fabulous artist from Ivory Coast that's called Bruli Bourabré, who does these wonderful little, who does these wonderful little drawings of everything in the world. Because there's a language that's called Bété, which is not a written language. So one day he got a message from God and he said, you have to do a drawing for everything. So the dog, the poodle, the woman, the boat, the airplane. He did a drawing for everything. So I gave these, I think it's 1,700 drawings that I gave them all to the MoMA, and that's what they're showing now. And I think you saw the show, and it's remarkable. He was like a sage.
It is remarkable. It is remarkable. And the detail of these little tiny drawings, and you explained to me that the drawings are all the same size, and they were all painted on the reverse side of a shampoo bottle label.
Exactly, because he was a very modest man, and he lived next to a lady's hairdresser. And the hairdresser would throw away the boxes, and the inside of the box was not printed. So they're about the size of a postcard. So he started using these things, and with pencils, like children's pencils, but he started doing these fantastic drawings with words around them. And that's he made thousands and thousands of them on these wonderful. And it says, you know, this shampoo is a special shampoo for black ladies. It's straighten up your hair, you know, the reverse.
But they were all beautifully framed in tiny little frames, and they're all lined up very precisely on the walls of MoMA.
Oh, yes.
And you had quite a crowd at that exhibit. Very famous artists came. Tell us about some of the guests. You have so many friends everywhere. I'm just astonished all the time, the incredibly interesting and diverse friends that you have. So who was there that night?
One of the very interesting person was Maurizio Catalan, who's a famous Italian, very like a kind of surrealist man. He's a great, friend of mine, and he does really like one of the pieces I own by him is a giant supermarket cart, which is like four times the size of her, and it's called Five Items or Less, and I have it in my house in Los Angeles, this giant, and he said you should go to the supermarket and use it. But he does very, very interesting, strange stuff. So he was there, and then there was my friend An Duong, who's a fabulous painter, who was the...
He used to be married to Julian Schnabel, right?
Julian Schnabel. And she never went to art school. And she has become an incredible, very, very successful painter, which is amazing. And she does very well. But a lot of people came. All my friends came. And I tell you why they all came. Because the first time we did an opening, the invitation came from the Museum of Modern Art. So people say, I want more invitation for the Modern Art. So the second time, I sent it on my email, and then people came. Okay, so now I understood something. When you invite people, you have to put your own name and not the name of an institution. Okay?
And that's for sure. even if it's the Museum of Modern Art.
But, yeah, people say, one more opening, you know.
Or one more fundraiser.
One more fundraiser. Yeah, panic. You know, I don't want to give my money. So now in Cannes, city famous for the film festival, I am doing a preview for the museum that I'm building in Cannes. We are going to do with the mayor and I think the Minister of Culture in France, we're going to inaugurate the new museum that I'm building in Cannes for my African collection. It's kind of interesting. It's a church with two buildings next to it. And it was a Russian church, but I went there on Sunday. They had two or three people there. All the Russians, I guess, are gone or they don't go to church. So with something that I didn't know, in France, the churches are owned by the government and not by the church, okay?
Uh-huh.
So when the mayor of Cannes said, let's do a museum, I said, where? So he said, the first one, he said, he gave me a glass factory. And the problem, it was in a difficult, but then he said, what about the church? I said, okay, let's go see. And I really like the church, but I said, it's a church. He said, well, we're going to give a different, we have another church we can give to the Russian community. So they gave me the church with two little buildings, and it's about 6,000 square feet, and it's very charming. It was built in 1900 or something like that. So when next time you come, I would show you the church.
Oh, I can't wait. And so you have to construct walls within the church because there's no walls inside the church.
Oh, sure. And I tell you, the interesting thing is, because it's owned by the government, we are going to have a competition, open competition for any architect in the world. So, you know, like when they built Beaubourg in Paris, you know, Renzo Piano arrived. Nobody knew who this young guy was, okay? And this amazing building. So we're going to have a competition. Perhaps we're going to find the next Frank Lloyd Wright, or the next genius to do this thing. So I'm very excited about it.
Oh, that is very exciting. And when do you think you'll start construction or at least start the contest?
The contest should sometime in the fall. All the papers are ready. So sometime in the fall. And I will be one of the members of the jury. So it's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And so about, you know, less than a year, we'll know who the architect will be.
Yes. Well, what's it going to be called?
It's going to be called Musée Pigozzi.
How great. Well, I want to come to the opening, okay?
Well, that I can't give you a date to put in your calendar, but it will be
not
in about
yet.
Let's say 3 years. No.
Wow, how fantastic. Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And what about you? Here you are, 70 years old. I couldn't get into your birthday Zoom call, by the way, and I'm still fretting about that because you had too many friends. And by the time I tried to Zoom in, it was closed to your friends.
Oh, no.
So at 70 years old, here's Johnny Pagazzi, one of the most attractive men in the whole world for his entire life. Oh. And he is unmarried, childless, that we don't, I mean, maybe you have children that we don't know about. Do you have any children that we don't know about?
You know, I dread every year Father's Day. I think somebody's going to come and ring my doorbell and say, hi, this is Stephanie. I'm your daughter. I'm 35 years old. Or, hi, this is George. I'm 19. Well, up to now, it hasn't happened. But I think I do not regret being married, okay? Because if you look, you and I can look at, let's say 80% of the people around us are divorced or they live horrible marriages where they hate each other. Okay, is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Okay, so then I do miss not having children. But on the other side, I see friends of mine who have children who are so difficult. They're screwed up. They do nothing. On the other side, I have friends who have great children. So I might have been lucky in having good children. I don't know. But also, I have zero patience. You know, when my parents chose me, they said, he has to be tall, he has to be a good swimmer, he doesn't have to cook, he has to be a good driver. But they forgot to put across patience. I have no patience. So to be a good parent, you have to have patience. And I'm zero.
So who are you still dying to take a selfie with? Is there any, who are five people you have not been able to get a picture with?
I don't think I have a picture of Elon with Elon Musk. I had dinner with Elon Musk 3 years ago. And at the end of the dinner, I said, Elon, you didn't really listen to me. He said, no, Johnny, I'm sorry. I was inventing and I resolved the problem of how to make flying cars. Okay. So that's what I would like. I like him. You know, basically, there's people I don't know and I don't even know who they are. I'm most impressed, not by movie stars and all that. That doesn't, you know, I'm most interested by incredible scientists, like people who, you know, who could have the next, you know, cure for cancer, or even somebody who could invent an injection so you won't have a cold anymore, you know. That would be great, you know, you just take a pill and your cold goes away. I'm most interested now by scientists who can resolve big problems. Those are the people I'm most in. But I'm sadly, it's not the world I know anything about, but I'd like to. Those are the people I'm most impressed by. But if you say, you know, the next supermodel, the next, you know, I'm not that intrigued.
So the scientists, are you interested in longevity? I mean, you are, we know that you're 70 years old, going on 71, I guess, huh? When's your birthday? I forgot.
In January. I'm interested. You know, sad enough, when you're old, you discover how many paths can go wrong in your body. Okay. It's like in a car, you know, they say the brake, the muffler, the disc. And you say, oh, you know, when you're 50, you say, oh, well, you know, my elbow hurts a little bit. But when you're old, it's your elbow, it's your back, it's your liver, it's your eyes. And there's so many things that, you know, I remember when I was young with my friends, we used to talk about girls and hedge funds. Okay. Now, when I meet people of my age, like, who's your heart doctor? How many pills are you taking? You know, I mean, it's completely different, which is depressing. Okay.
But you look in good. You look in good health. You look robust.
I look okay. Yeah, I look okay. But when I go to the doctors, oh, your heart is going too fast. Your liver is this. Your, I don't know what. Take this pill. Take that pill. I mean, oh, you know, I feel okay. I just swam now for an hour at full speed. But who knows? You know, I don't know. So
I think you're doing just fine. And what about hedge funds? What are you investing in these days? Because you've always been sort of at the forefront of technology, interested in as you say, science. Did you invest in Tesla early on?
No, I did not. And I didn't. I mean, I'll tell you a very embarrassing story. About 30 years ago, I was at this high-tech conference. In a small room, there must have been 15 people in the room. And there was this guy, he said, it was a public company, by the way. And he said, oh, I drove with my wife and my two dogs from New York to Seattle, and we started this company that sells books, okay? And eventually we'll sell some other things. And I was sitting on the last row and said, does this guy knows about Barnes & Noble? Has he heard of them, Barnes & Noble? Okay. So then I became friends with Jeff Bezos. And I feel terrible. It was a public company. It was at 10. The stock didn't move at 10. You could buy as many shares as you want. And I said, he said, Johnny, let me tell you a story. When I started Amazon, I needed money. So I sold a quarter of Amazon for $1 million to my dentist, to my uncle, to my friend who had a bit of money, okay? You want to know something? None of them made any money. When the stock went from 10 to 15, they all sold. Now it would be worth like $600 billion, okay?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Don't feel too stupid. Yeah. So in any case, I invest a lot with new high-tech companies. And you know what I find fascinating? I speak to kids who are between the age of 25 and 35, okay? And they say, we can cure cancer. We can feed Africa. We have a way of doing this new blood analyzer. We can do this. I make a lot of investments. And some of them, I do. I've been to many, many high-tech funerals, okay? I look at this baseball cap, cost me $250,000. This T-shirt cost me $100,000. But sometimes, you know, I was lucky enough to invest in Facebook. Did well. And now my most interesting, I have two very interesting ones, or two, many more. But one of them is called Goodable, which I invested last year in. This is a guy who's called Mohammed Lilla. He was a war reporter at CNN. So he reported on people getting murdered, building exploding and all that. And he said, you know what? I'm going to start a channel that only has good news. Okay? And he's done it. And it's doing quite well. It's called Goodable. And that's kind of an interesting thing.
What's he writing about nowadays? I don't see too much good news in the newspapers that I read every day.
Exactly. But there is hidden news. So he has a very interesting AI system that looks at thousands of news feeds. And out of the thousands, every day you find, let's say some woman started a school for young women in Iran. This guy, there was a fire, this fireman went in and saved five dogs. There's always somewhere in this horrible disaster, this kid had cancer and he survived. There's always some good news, you know. So I feel that, you know, perhaps 20% of the people around the world don't want to hear about horrible things anymore. They want to hear about uplifting, good things, people doing good things. So that's the idea of this program. So that's one thing. The other one, I invested in this about 4 years ago, is a company that's called Diamond Foundry, and they make diamonds. Mm. So they make man-made diamonds, okay? And it has been, it's a big success for, you know, rings and all that. So that has been a big success. So that's another one that I have. And then I'm always looking at, you know, always looking at new companies. And I love talking to these young entrepreneurs. You know, they're not, I can see negative things about everything, but these young people, when they're 20s, they don't see anything negative about anything. They always, which is really fun. So that keeps me young and interested. So that's one of the things. You know, like another one is, you know, the EpiPen, when you get bitten by. So these guys invented a new thing, much, much easier and much, much cheaper to make. It's a round thing. You just press one button, much easier to deliver the thing. Another one which you would like is a thing you use your iPhone and you take a picture of what you're eating. And it tells exactly how many calories it is.
Okay? Mm, that's good.
It's good, no? So they took thousands and thousands of photographs of different food, from Chinese food to salad to steak to this to that, and they analyze, and then they have this system. Okay, so and because it has machine learning, the more data it is, the better it gets. Okay, so that's a kind of an interesting thing. Those are some of the companies I'm interested in.
So here's a curious man. Has curiosity played the biggest part of your life, of all senses?
There's two things that kept me going. One is creativity. Okay, in anything, it could be from taking a photograph to redoing a house to doing, I don't know, something different. To being curious. Every day when I go to bed, I said, what did I learn today? And there's certain days I learned nothing and I feel terrible. I said, this was a stupid, wasted day. But today I learned about, you know, how whales communicate to each other or how whatever, okay? That for me is the most interesting thing that you can do. That's what keeps you going. If you're not curious, you better close down. You can close it. I know you're immensely curious. And it's the most important to be curious.
I have a motto I was going to say that's learn something new every day.
100%. I completely agree. You know what I find strange? You meet young people who are in their 30s. They are like on a train. They go to the office. They come home. They're not curious about anything. It's so terrible. And then you meet people who are 90 years old who are learning a new language, who are learning a new science, who are reading incredible books and all that. And their mind is much more agile. And interesting that some young peepsqueaks who have, you know, who gave up. But I find that incredible. I completely agree with you. Completely agree. And it can be how to bake a new thing, a new kind of vegetables, something of how birds talk to each other. It could be how to drive a motorcycle, whatever, okay? But it's all, every day there's something to learn. And I find that really interesting, really important.
So I have some questions I just want quick answers to before we close this very, very interesting talk. Which city do you enjoy living in the most in the world?
Well, for years and years, it was New York. And now I find New York, the noise and the activity. I was in New York 2 weeks ago. I don't want to live in New York anymore.
But that didn't answer my question. Which city do you find?
Do I find interesting? I find Los Angeles kind of interesting because even if it's very widespread, there's people doing very interesting things. The weather is terrific and interesting people. So now I'm interested by Los Angeles.
Okay. So where are you the most comfortable in any of your houses? Which house are you most comfortable in?
Well, my house here in the south of France, because I love swimming. And I have a big forest and I have a big comfortable house. So the house in France, yes.
Of all art forms that you have been exposed to, which is your favorite?
Well, my favorite is the most complicated one, is movies. Because I think making movies has to be the most complicated art form ever made in the world, ever invented.
And your favorite movie of all time?
you know, like everybody needed, like everybody, Citizen Kane. When you think when it was done by this young man, it's incredible.
Citizen Kane. And your favorite piece of art that you have ever bought?
Well, I discovered this photographer that's called Seydou Keita, who was a portrait photographer in Mali in the 60s. And he's been an incredible revelation. And the amazing thing, he would only take one picture. You know, now photographers take 100 pictures. He would take one picture. He was very, very cheap. So he would take one picture. That's it.
Are those large photographs of like couples or a person that you have in your home?
Exactly.
Oh, I love that photographer.
Yeah, the big black and the fabulous. Oh. We're going to have a show next year at the Brooklyn Museum. So,
oh, good. I certainly will. And the most beautiful woman you have ever seen?
I think it's in a movie, Sophia Loren, when she was 20 years old. Incredible. You know, and she was also a great actress and funny.
I probably saw the same movies you saw. And I always thought when I looked at Sophia Loren that, Martha, you will never grow up to be anything like Sophia Loren. How could any woman ever equal Sophia Loren? Isn't that funny? I always used her as that example. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Well, what I told you before, that Ahmed Ertegun, those three things.
And talking about that, you have a girlfriend right now that I don't know about?
No, I don't.
Well, on that sad note, because you should always have a girlfriend. Thank you so much, Johnny. I love talking to you, and you always reveal something new about yourself that I hadn't heard before. And it's just a pleasure to talk to you. And have a nice few weeks in the south of France. Enjoy yourself.
Bye. Bye, darling. See you soon.
Same to you. Bye. Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.